Today, we're talking movie music with film composer Adonis Silamparis, right here on No Rest for the Weekend. Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend, the show where we talk to the creators of independent film and series. I'm your host, Victoria Oliver. Music is one of the most important elements of a film. A film score can help us feel the tone of a movie. It holds us in suspense, it makes us feel, and occasionally it scares the hell out of us. Our guest today is an accomplished musician and composer. Adonis Silamparis has composed music for TV's CSI New York, NCIS, and American Pickers. And recently he composed the film scores for feature films such as Dementia 13, Naked as We Came, and the upcoming Bloodbound. Recently, our producer, Jason Godby, had a chance to meet up with Adonis in the studio.
Hi, it's Jason Godby for No Rest for the Weekend. With me today in the studio is composer Adonis Silamparis. Welcome, Adonis.
Thank you, and you got my name right.
Yes, I was. That was the first challenge. The first challenge of the cast here is getting Adonis's name right.
Yeah, it's not easy.
So Adonis is a composer who's composed for TV and film. Adonis, tell us how this came to be. Give us your origin story. How did you get into TV and film composing?
I've been playing in bands for years. I started to play guitar and piano when I was like 11. And then all through the 90s, I was playing in bands. And then I met up with a guy who wrote music for commercials. And I was like, that would be great to find another way to make money rather than, you know, I was playing shows every night. So I got into that. I started to write for advertising and jingles, and then I met a few filmmakers, and then it just went from there. And then, you know, I just met more and more filmmakers, and then I realized how much I loved it.
So give us kind of a brief description of your process. When a film comes to you, what do you come in? Is it pre-production? Are they talking to you that early? Do they not talk to you till post? What's the process like?
I meet with the filmmaker before the film is even shot. We talk about ideas. So I get a general idea. So that's, you know, like circulates in my head. Then in post, once we're done with all the shooting, we have what is known as a spotting session, where we sit with the actual filmmaker and we watch the entire film without any music, which is really, really strange. Like watching a film with like no music, it's completely dead. So we have the spotting session, I take notes, and he basically says, I want this here, I want this here, I want this here. So I usually go one scene at a time. We start with a main theme or the opening title, and then he approves it or not, I make changes, and then we go into the next scene and the next and the next. So it's just a very, very simple process. Not everybody works like that, but that's how I do it. And that's it.
And then when it comes to actually recording, do you do all that yourself? Do you have an orchestra that you work with?
Mostly, I can do everything in the box, which is in my home, because if it's like synth stuff, I can do it at home. But for this last, you know, film I just did, we hired an orchestra. Yeah, because I wanted it to sound like a real orchestra. I didn't want it to sound like synth. Yeah.
Very cool. So, in doing this, I mean, going to, you know, playing in bands and playing live music is so much different than composing for a film.
Yes.
How did you learn this? Like, what composers did you listen to? Who are the people that influenced you the most?
When I was 12 or 11, I saw a movie called Chariots of Fire by a composer named Vangelis. We spoke about this, and that moved me a lot. I was like, wow, I want to do this one day. I want to score a film. And I was amazed how he did that. I kept following him. A few years later, he did a movie called Blade Runner, which you all know, of course. And yeah, I just got into it. I started buying soundtracks. I was like, this is how I'm going to do it. So I would like speak with other people I knew about how it works. I would watch the films and I would see how it works. So I kind of learned it on my own.
So it wasn't like you apprenticed under somebody or...
No, I mean, I totally advise anyone who's interested in doing this to go to school. I didn't, but it's better to go and maybe like apprentice over somebody or, you know, just learn it in school or take some courses or something.
Now, this feature that you've done recently, Dementia 13.
Yes.
I understand it's a remake of an old Coppola picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Roger Corman produced Francis Ford Coppola picture.
Yeah.
It was a black and white sort of B movie.
It was his first movie in 1963. It has a cult following. A lot of people love it. So Universal Pictures bought the rights from Coppola, and they remade it last year, and I scored it, and it was a lot of fun.
How did you come to that picture?
Richard LeMay, who made the film, I worked with him on his last film about 2 years ago. So he liked what I did, and then he called me and asked me to do it, and I was very happy about that.
And overall, with the experience of doing it, how was it? Because it's a feature. Mm-hmm. Now, you had scored television previously.
I had done like a few features also in the past.
Okay. And was it a long process for Dementia, or was it...
It was a long process, yeah, because it's a horror film, it's a lot of sound design. So it's not so much music. The beginning had orchestral music, and the end has piano. Mm-hmm. In the middle, it's a lot of just eerie sounds, and so we had to mess around with a lot of sounds.
And you're doing that as well?
Mm-hmm. I do some sound design as well.
And what was the soundscape like in terms of like the feeling like and how do you go from how do you go from we want the audience to feel this way mm-hmm. to actual notes and getting that to turn into music?
Yeah. He wanted a lot of drones, you know, like ambient noises. So I use a lot of synth sounds with, you know, heavy drones. I also took some scenes where I couldn't find the sound he wanted. So as an example, it was a very scary scene. He wanted a low, like, eerie drone, so I couldn't find anything. So I took a microphone. Actually, it was this microphone right here, the SM58, and I went... And then I put it through effects, and I flipped it backwards, and it sounded really cool, and he loved it.
And the overall score, you said there is orchestral stuff at the beginning.
In the opening, and the end has some piano.
And what was that? What feeling were you going? Because I think the sound of a movie really helps a lot with tone.
Mm-hmm.
And tone is really hard to get right.
Yes.
I think it's harder to get right in a comedy than it is in a horror movie or a drama.
Comedy's very hard, yes.
And having done both myself in terms of, you know, writing and directing both, mm-hmm. You have to have a special composer who gets both of those mindsets.
Absolutely.
But what was kind of the mission? What did he say to you, or what did we get? Like, what was your direction in terms of we want the audience to feel like this when we open? And yeah. how do I get people into the movie?
Yeah, he said exactly that he wanted something kind of a very somber opening, which the music in the beginning is very, very somber, and then it leads into a very, very unsettling, more of a sound design thing. And then we end with a very sad piano, you know, I don't want to say ballad, but just like, you know, something very sad. So he wanted to go on that journey from music into something very unsettling, because it is very, very unsettling. But we did have one theme that went out. He wanted a three-note theme, which is in the beginning and all through the film. There's like a three-note thing on piano, which is kind of eerie.
And did you come up with that, or did he specify, I want three notes, or that
no,
was something
he
you
said
came
I
up
wanted
with?
Like three, four notes, and I came up with a simple little ding, ding, ding.
I remember seeing an interview with John Williams back in the day, and he was talking about finding those little motifs and themes. He said that was the hardest thing to do.
It is.
To find those, like, da 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 is like the hardest thing. I gotta pay for the rights to Indiana Jones. But like he said, the hardest thing is like to try to find da 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 da, like mm-hmm. those little note themes. Is there a way that you get into that?
It just hit me. I just watched the opening scene over and over again. I just had my eyes, you know, like shut. I was just really thinking of something unsettling. And it just hit me, and I played it, and he was like, I like it, that's it. So I was lucky. Sometimes it takes like three or four times, but it's part of the thing about scoring is that you have to watch the scene and understand what is going on underneath it. Some composer, I don't remember who it was, said when you see a scene of a man who's actually just, you know, running, you shouldn't score him just doing his run, you should score why he's running.
With with this particular movie or other particular movies, have you been given a direction of like, we want it to sound like this? I know that nowadays, and especially in Hollywood, mm-hmm. there's a lot of the temp score that goes on. And you hear, I know that the Pirates of the Caribbean score has been aped a bunch of times.
It has.
Inception blares have been aped a bunch of times. Did you ever get that? They say, we want it to sound like this. And what do you do with that? Is that something you can fight against?
It's very hard to fight it because we call it actual demo love. They get attached to that. So if I like it, I'll try to emulate it. If I don't, I'll try to introduce something else. And it takes a lot of doing. And they're like, just think about it for like a week. Listen to it for like a week. And he'll say, like, okay, and then he'll do it.
Personally, when I work with a composer, I try not to do that to them.
Mm-hmm.
I will...
Well, that's good. Thank you.
I mean, I will say, like...
we need more guys like you.
I did a movie called The Last Hit, which was a film noir.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the composer was like, well, what feeling do you want? And I was like, well, the movie feels like Double Indemnity. There's a lot of Hitchcock influence. Mm-hmm. So he started to listen to a ton of Bernard Herrmann stuff, to get that old time classical orchestral score feeling to it.
Maybe like Taxi Driver or something.
Taxi Driver is a great one. Yeah. Or, even some of the stuff a lot of stuff he did with Hitchcock. Not as full frontal as that, because you can't score a movie like that anymore. You have to be more subtle. And it seems like scores, unfortunately, are getting... You don't notice scores in movies like you used to. Not to get too far off topic, but mm-hmm. is that something that you found? And how do you... how big a part of a movie are you? How can you, as a composer, show... How can you add to the movie without taking away from it?
Well, that's something that's happening a lot now. There's much less scoring nowadays than in the old days. If you watch old movies from the 1940s and 50s, there's music everywhere. It's constantly, and most of it is not even necessary. So there's less and less scoring now because sometimes, and I shouldn't be saying this really, but sometimes no music is good. It's like important in a scene. It's more powerful. So in a way, it's better because when we do have the music, it should be powerful. So I don't mind it being less, because when it comes, it's like, wow.
Well, you get less is more, and you also...
Less is more.
But it's can you write rememberable themes?
That's the challenge, and yes, I love doing it.
Very cool.
Yeah.
In terms of, the way you got into the business, you kind of met somebody who wanted to work with you, and then you found kind of a mentor in this person. I don't know if that's still happening now. I think it's harder and harder to get into the business these days. In terms of advice on, if you were, say you were you X amount of years ago when you started, how would you go about starting now?
Yeah, because things are very, very different now as they were in the old days. Now there are many more composers because it's easier to become one, because it's easier to just buy a laptop and a good sequencer and a microphone. And you're Moby, But my advice is, because there's a lot of competition out there, mingle as much as you can. Go to events, go to mixers, meetups, go to join organizations. I'm part of the Society of Composers and Lyricists. Try to join these organizations and meet as many people as you can. Meet, filmmakers, meet people in television. Just get yourself out there and mingle as much as possible.
The other thing is, I would say, probably is honing your craft, too.
Well,
If you were, would you say, because I've told people who are, editors,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, well, I want to be an editor, but I don't have any footage, I'm not working on a project, and I don't really shoot, I would say, and the composer's mm-hmm. in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've told people, download some public domain footage off of, Pond 5.
Absolutely.
And score it or edit it and put it together for yourself.
Sure. Absolutely.
I also think, you mentioned going to school,
mm-hmm.
But you didn't go to school.
I didn't.
Do you, is it important when you compose to be able to read music and be technical in that way?
It helps. I know a lot of composers who don't know how to read. I can read, but a lot of them don't. You don't really have to, but it does help because you may have to arrange some stuff. It's better to have a full understanding of what's going on. On that note, Vangelis never knew how to read a note of music.
Really?
He won the Academy Award in 1981. But yeah. It's better to know.
I mean, I can't remember the composer's name.
The more you know is better.
But the guy who, the composer of Oliver, the musical Oliver, also did not know how to read or write music.
Yeah. Oh, what was his name?
Find
out later.
But yeah, you can Google that one, kids. Yeah.
You mean the Oliver from 1960?
Yes, the movie, the musical.
Right, and that's all orchestral, so he probably hired like some arrangers.
Do you do your own arrangements?
Mostly. Sometimes I will hire other people.
Do you, because I know people like John Williams like doing their own arrangements and stuff.
Yeah, well, he comes from like a real classical.
Right, he's a genius. And he's also,
I like to bring other people involved. So I like to hire other arrangers because he'll add a little flair to it, which I didn't think of.
So you can come up with a theme on piano or something and then give it over and they'll add in the strings and the horns.
He'll spice it up
stuff.
And he'll make it, yeah.
How important too is it for you to be your own recording engineer? I think people who compose nowadays, I mean, you said it's easier, but still not everybody is technical.
Right. It's better to be your own engineer because if you want that sound that you're really looking for, it's very hard to communicate that to somebody else. So if you can do that on your own, I advise that.
It also takes a lot less time.
Oh.
You know, I actually composed a score for my first movie.
Awesome.
It was the hardest part, because A, I'd never done it before.
You did it on piano?
I did it on I didn't have a piano. I had a Casio keyboard.
cool.
And it had one of those little things in it, like a readout that would show you where the notes were.
Oh, nice.
And then I would take staff paper and just mark it down. And then, and I also, you know, I'm a guitar player. A piano is terrible for me, so I would have to plunk things out on piano. But and then this is back in the old days when you didn't have the GarageBand didn't exist.
Right.
So a friend of mine was using an ancient version of Cubase.
What was it called? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but you had to be both like a music and mathematical genius to be able to figure out how to use this program.
Yeah.
And luckily, he was both. Yeah. And I would play the themes for him, and then we would use synthesized. We would use synthesized instruments, mm-hmm. but they were so bad back then that you would have to just go with whatever sounded the best.
Absolutely.
So, like, if the flute noise sounded good, that would be, like, your lead instrument.
It.
You know.
That's it.
But now, yeah. I mean, with all the samples that you...
Yeah, they're amazing now. Samples are incredible now.
But despite even having that, you mm-hmm. still used real instruments on this last soundtrack.
Yeah, because no matter how amazing they sound, there's always it's just nothing beats the real thing.
Adonis, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you coming down. It's been a great enlightening talk with you. I hope people can get something good out of this. Where can people find you online?
My website is adoniscomposer.com. So adoniscomposer.com. And Dementia 13, already out. It's on Amazon, and it should be on Netflix soon as well.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
We'll hopefully check back in with you at some point on the next project.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for joining us and taking this trip down the rabbit hole. I'd like to thank our guest, Adonis Silamparis. If you're interested in seeing more from Behind the Rabbit Productions, check out our website, btrp.nyc. On behalf of myself and Jason Godby, thanks for watching and we'll see you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.